communication, one of the beautiful things is responding back. So I hear that you say the world seems, you know, da 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 da, or, you know, yeah, I hear that Christchurch was a horrible situation. You could probably use that diagram of the three circles. Yep, we live in a broken world, don't we? And that's something everyone can agree to. And that's where you can bring the hope of Jesus into the broken world. That's not where my sermon's going. Maybe it is. It's always about Jesus, but I'm going to pray before I begin. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you send your Holy Spirit to open our hearts and minds and to reveal to us where we've let fear take root in our lives, where it has distracted us from leading a life that's trusting in the promises that we have in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So Lord, cast out our fear and help us to glorify your name. Amen. So talking about fear that has that amazing effect of debilitating us, doesn't it? I don't want to embarrass my wife, but she's petrified of spiders. So whenever she says a spider, there's a scream from whatever part of the house and the hero of the house has to come and rescue her. In fact, before we were even engaged, you know, Maria lived in the unit above me and you could hear her screaming through concrete walls. So she's settled down a bit these days. She doesn't, yeah, but fear, it's amazing, isn't it? My grandma used to be petrified of mice. She'd jump on a chair and scream, and yet she could kill a brown snake with a shovel. So I don't know, fear isn't logical, is it? It attacks us all in different ways. It debilitates us. It makes us lose confidence. It has this amazing way of just shutting us down. Fear is part of all of our lives, unfortunately. We have to acknowledge it. Throughout the Bible, it's a continued theme that comes up. Even in the, you know, Jesus with the disciples, he's always walking into places of fear for them. Sometimes he's the cause of fear when he's walking on water and they're all like, oh, what's going on? Is this a ghost? Anyway, fear has a way of shutting us down. Paul's got his hand up. False expectations appearing real. That's a good acronym for fear. It's true. When we give something credit for what it's not due. Yeah. But what about when we face up to things like shootings? You know, I had a little prayer before we gathered today saying, dear Lord, I pray that no silliness happens like it did for those Muslims in Christchurch today as people gather to worship you in churches. Fear, I think false expectations, but fear is also based in the reality of our lives too, isn't it? I bring all this up because I had two readings from the Bible today. The first one was from Genesis 15. So it's this part of Abraham's story. Abraham, we're normally, he's lifted up on a pedestal, this guy who's really faithful. His faith is in God's promise is accredited to him as righteousness, isn't it? So a pillar of faith, we'd call Abraham. But if we just look at that reading again from Genesis 15, verses 1 through to 5, actually, I'll give a bit of background. So Abraham's come out of it. He's had the promise. God gave him a promise right back in his homeland with his family. He left his inheritance there to follow God's, he said, I'll make you a great nation. You know that speech? So a great nation, meaning he's going to have descendants. So Abraham follows him off into a new land. He goes down to Egypt. He's had his nephew Lot with him. They have a bit of a fight. Lot goes and gets captured by some invading forces. Abram at that stage has to go off and rescue him. So Abraham's been following God everywhere, just, you know, trusting him and doing all this. He's rescued Lot. This king Melchizedek comes along and gives an amazing blessing in Genesis 14. And then we get to our reading in Genesis 15. So after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield your very great reward. But, Abram says, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? Do you hear it there? The Lord's saying, don't be afraid. Abraham's afraid of something. God gives a promise over his life. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I'm your shield. I'm your great reward. This is the promise. It's all wrapped up into that promise that God's said over Abraham's life. And Abraham, in the face of this promise that he'll be a great nation, that he'll have many children, he says, but you have given me no children. I haven't got an heir to my family line. So I like to think about fear on two levels. Fear on a surface level, fear of spiders and things that's pretty obvious, isn't it? When a dog's barking, we run away. It's a natural response. This is a kind of a surface level fear. But on a different level, we have deep-rooted fears, don't we? That go beyond just funny reactions to mice or cockroaches or dogs barking. Deep-rooted fears that really sink into our heart. Abraham has a deep-rooted fear. He wants to see an heir to his family. It's consuming him. Imagine if his deep-rooted fear was, I want to be powerful and strong and have a palace. You know, God saying to him, don't worry, Abraham, I'm your strength, I'm your shield. His but statement would have been something like, yeah, but Lord, I haven't got my palace to live in and I haven't got all my land safely secured with a massive army force. How we respond to God's promise and trust over our lives shows us where our deep-rooted fear is. It's a good tool, isn't it, to use when we hear that promise even over our lives. Put your own name in there. Do not be afraid, Michael. I'm your shield, your very great reward. And then just let those but statements come up. But Lord, you know. What is it in your life? What are those but statements? But Lord, my body's failing. Life's getting a bit tough. But Lord, school's a bit hard. I'm being teased. But Lord, you let it flow. It's amazing. We've got these great promises by God over our lives, and yet fear still plays into it. Abraham, who was a pillar of building up the Israelite nation, the seed of God's promise, expanding through generations, and even we can say that we're sons and daughters of Abraham, knitted into that web of promise. And yet, isn't it amazing how fear still takes root in our lives to change how we act and trust God in stepping out? As I've shared with you, one of my fears has been sharing the word of the Lord with people that don't know Jesus. It's always been a place where I've never been able to go. And yet through this course, it's been amazing. In God's promises, I've been able to step into my fear and let him shine his light through that. I'm still in my early stages. I'll probably be like Peter. I might have a sinking moment. But stepping into your fear, where has fear taken root in your life? Where does fear stop you trusting God's promises over his goodness, his love for you? Can you tap back into it? Can you uncover it like God did to Abraham and say, Abraham, you're still worrying about having descendants. I've given you a promise, and yes, I'm going to make you wait 25 years until you're 100 years old, but I will be faithful. How often do we say, well, God, you're not really showing up in the here and now. Look at the world around me. It's not going the way that you said, Lord. Come on. Are we impatient in waiting for God to act? Do we trust his word over our lives? Letting fear take root stops us from sharing the gospel, stops us living out his love, stops us stepping out in trust to go beyond our little safe zones that we make. We all make our own little fortress of security. Where are we able to go beyond our fear? I also shared with you that reading from Luke, because it's amazing how deep-rooted fear in death really is probably one of the greatest fears in all of life. As we face things like mass shootings and terror and war, the fear of death is really at the heart of our frail human nature. It can leave us powerless. It can leave us shaken so much that we doubt that God loves our lives, that he even cares about us when we see death and destruction around us. And so it's interesting reading into Luke 13 how Jesus faces up to fear and fear of death. I'll read it to you again. Luke 13, verses 31 through to 35. So at that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." There's a death threat. So Jesus replies, "Go tell that fox I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next, for surely no prophet can die outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" So this is when Jesus has got his sights set on Jerusalem. He's heading up to Jerusalem with one thing in mind. He's going there to die for the sins of the world. A death threat is not going to stop him in his mission to save the world. Death is his mission, to conquer death. I don't know about you or I, but having a death threat, imagine if we were all threatened with death for following Jesus. Would that hinder you in how you follow him? Would fear raise up and turn you from coming maybe to church if you were threatened? It's a pretty tough call. I'm so glad I don't live in a society like that. I wonder how I would react. But Jesus, in the face of a death threat, knowing that death is there waiting for him, Jerusalem, sets his sight on Jerusalem. He's motivated for his love and care for us. He said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings." It's a beautiful picture of Jesus' lament for us. People lost in sin and death and in fear. But Jesus was able to enter into those things, into the darkness of death, into the darkness of all our fears. And by dying on the cross, he conquered it all, didn't he? He conquered our fear. He conquered everything that separates us from the love of God. Our deep-rooted fear should not be death, but in fact, being separated from God. And Jesus has smashed that. He's conquered that. He's created us new, like in that three circles. He's made us a new person. There is no fear in those who know his love. Perfect love drives out all fear, we hear in James. Jesus, in perfect love, conquered death for us. He conquered sin. He conquered the devil. There is nothing now that separates us from the love of God. It's my encouragement to you to remember that, promise you have in Jesus. As you look out at the world this week, don't live in fear of it. Live knowing that you have a Lord and Savior that came to save this world from all that brokenness. And you get to be his mouthpiece to speak that hope, that joy, that security that we have in Jesus Christ. That's my encouragement to you. Use your ears this week. Hear when people are talking in fear. and acknowledge it, like Louise said, acknowledge it. The world is broken. But the world's not our only hope, is it? Politicians aren't my hope in this world. Even bishops and cardinals and popes aren't the hope of this world, are they? No way. Jesus Christ, that's where our hope lies. So point people to him. Have a finger on the pulse in your own fears. What's stopping you stepping out, trusting the promises of God over your life? Speak scripture into that, like we did last week, into the face of temptation this week, into the face of fear. Speak words. I guess my favorite part of scripture is Matthew 28, when thinking about fear and being afraid. Jesus proclaims to the disciples after his resurrection, "All authority in heaven and on the earth has been given to me." And he ends it off by saying, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of age." Jesus is never going to leave you, even in the depth of fear, even when you have to face up to death, because each and every one of us will have to pay the consequence of sin in our life. Even in the face of death, hold strong to the faith that you have in Jesus Christ. Proclaim it to the world so that they can also come to a living hope that we have in Jesus Christ. So I pray that you can draw into the life of Christ in your week. I pray that you can find him as your shield and your strength as you face fears of this world. And I pray that you can stand confidently in the promise that you have in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And in all this, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guide your hearts and minds into Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, knowing that we don't always stand firm in the face of fear, knowing that we're quick to doubt God's promises, we're impatient like Abraham to get on with it, God, I want to see the fulfillment of your promises. Knowing that we fall into sin too easily, let's come before our Lord and confess our sin, trusting in his promise to forgive us. Let's repent together. Lord God, we come before you with our burdens and fears and insecurity, and we confess our need for hope. Lord, we see a glimpse of what we ought to be, and we know we fall short of the goal. We desire a faith that is solid and unchanging. We desire a faith in which will carry us through our fear. We want to be strong, but we know our weakness. Our sin in thought, word, and deed separates us from you and the peace that you give. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, forgive us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Grant us healing and the gift of faith that we may walk boldly as your children with trust in your faithfulness and the certainty that we name. Amen. In Psalm 27, we hear, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." For the truth is, God is faithful to all his promises. And so, in faith of sins forgiven, in Jesus' name, I now declare over you, your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Peace be with you.